Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This is a hard saying. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It's the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You could title this homily, "Moment of Decision." The readings, obviously, the gospel, big moment of decision for the disciples. Joshua, big moment of decisions. Husbands and wives, the focus of John's constant daily decisions, right? Many of us can look back on key decisions in our life and how they changed everything, right, and set us on a course. I think of the moment I decided to go to the seminary or to stay committed to my vocation, even after some of my brother priests have left, or other moments of crisis. Moments of decision are big and sometimes scary, right? But not for the Christian if we're rooted in faith. A lot of times those decisions, we didn't really know the future. We made a decision based on faith, on convictions that we had today, principles, and then we trusted, because these are truths, you will carry me into the future in a solid way. So in today's gospel, we see a few moments of decision, right? The gospel is Jesus just finished the Bread of Life discourse. He's presented them the teaching on the Eucharist. "You must eat my body and drink my blood, or you'll have no life in you." It's a moment of decision. Will the apostles stay with Jesus even while some of their brothers are going back to the former way of life? Something safer, more comfortable, or continue on this adventure of following Jesus? It's also what's in the first reading, right? Taken from the book of Joshua, the exodus of the 40 years is over, out of the desert. Moses dies, Joshua takes them into the promised land. And with that long journey behind them, which the Lord accompanied them and guided them with great power, even says that in the first reading, the manna that came down to feed them, the water from the rock, the Ten Commandments God spoke to them, all of those things, defeating their enemies. They now had to decide in peacetime whether they would still serve him or turn back to the gods they left behind. Joshua tells them they can do what they want, but he's already made his decision for him and his household. They're going to serve the Lord. And he bases this decision on all that God had done for them, the God that he knows and who's accompanied him to this point. Joshua believes and trusts based on that. We're also often challenged with decisions to continue with the Lord, follow his teaching, or go back to what's easier or more familiar. Here, I just want to throw a quick shout out to tradition. Tradition is often criticized in our world or seen as kind of just mindless following of what was done in the past. And the truly liberated, smart, intelligent, brave soul questions it all and say, "Why do we do it?" And is willing to challenge the system, etc. And maybe in some areas of life that has its value. Maybe in business sometimes it is good to challenge and disrupt. You know, there's a big value on disruption these days. But there's a huge value to tradition. Why? We trust it's the accumulation of many good, well-intentioned, wise souls before us who, after centuries of human experience, have settled on a tradition that seems good, that's proven good, solid, around which you don't need to question and throw it out, but build on it. And in so living it, you'll come to understand. Kind of like what Peter says. We've believed. First, we believe this tradition is good. And then we've come to know, become convinced through our own experience of living it. Right? Traditions are oftentimes and many times good. Young couples, young families, how important is set up your traditions? Think of the tradition of Sunday Mass, right? It's a good tradition to stop at the end of the week, give thanks, repent, recenter, receive the grace of God, and face the new week. That's just a good tradition, a reset. Today's gospel, we see the culmination, the aftermath of Jesus' Bread of Life discourse, right? His teaching about the Eucharist presents a moment of decision for those who follow him because it requires faith, understanding, and wisdom. And as a result, many disciples go back to their former way of life. Love Peter's phrase. We have believed and come to know. We have believed and come to be convinced. And I want to highlight here, brothers and sisters, first comes faith, then understanding often. We believe you. We believe our experience of you, Jesus, throughout these years, that when you say something, it's worth believing and trusting, and then we'll come to understand it as we live it. If we always start with human reason, as beautiful and good as it is, and there are sectors where reason is primary, right? Where you give it, math, sciences, often. We've seen over the last few Sundays some of the truths that God offers us, though, especially in the Eucharist. We shouldn't be shy, obviously, of asking our Lord's help in our unbelief when it's challenging, when it's not clear, but we shouldn't start with unbelief until proven otherwise. We can think, and I allow me a little philosophical sideline for those who like this. I'll try to make it succinct and hopefully useful. We all know the philosopher Descartes from the end of the 1500s, who was posing in his method of human reason, how do we found it on solid truths? And he starts with that universal doubt. Well, I'm going to doubt everything and try to get to the one thing that I can't doubt. And he arrives finally about doubting. Finally, the thing I can't doubt is that I'm thinking. I know I'm thinking right now. Even though I'm doubting everything, I'm thinking. That's the solid truth. And I think, therefore I am, right? The problem with that has been criticized by all kinds of philosophers is actually what you're thinking is thanks to your existing. First is existence and all the things you're thinking about, the world outside you. Existence is first, and then we can think about it. And so it's a belief in, it's a trust in what we know and experience, and then we start to question it, doubt it. But we don't start with a universal doubt as they start. The opposite of this thought is a philosopher who came well before Descartes, St. Anselmo, who has that famous phrase of faith seeking understanding, fidens querens intellecto, is this big principle, which like we start with, I believe the things I know and understand, and I seek to understand them. That's like Peter. We have believed, and we've come to know. I think there's a parallel in this I'll highlight. You know, there's these websites and kits that offer you that you can purchase to understand your DNA. Perhaps a lot of you have done that. I was an early adopter of that. I went to a TED conference out in Vancouver years ago, and 23andMe was just getting started, and they offered free packs to everybody, so I tried it. Those who fear being tracked, your DNA, well, I guess I didn't have that fear. I figured they got plenty of my DNA floating around all the medical visits I've made over the years. But anyhow, what it does is it discovers your DNA, and then through that information, hopefully you can track some certain health tendencies in your family, et cetera. Informed, you can make better health choices, etc. Just as each of us bears that genetic heritage spanning generations, we also carry a legacy of faith that we've inherited from generations before that unites us and connects us to our spiritual origins, whether it's from Israel, from the Jews, through Christianity, to ourselves today. The Lord has prepared us with the faith and decisions to believe of so many before us that we've inherited that form traditions and truths and things that we build on. Just like we trust and understand, hey, it's good to know that and to use that to live today, so it is all of the traditions and the faith that's gone before us of other people who've believed and come to know. Today's reading provides us with great ways to take also a spiritual inventory. How much do I let doubt and criticism of all things, especially those things revealed by God that I don't fully understand, do I say, hey, I will doubt until it's proven to be true? Or do I say, hey, I trust the source and I trust you, God, and I'm sure as I trust and live, it will become evident to me. Teaching of the Eucharist, for example, or so many other teachings of our faith. Certainly individualism tempts us to try to work out spiritual matters on our own, a la carte, right? We sometimes call it cafeteria Catholics or anybody who kind of picks and chooses. Certainly that accents our personal responsibility to assimilate and choose the things that we believe. But it should also be, hey, I trust the source. How many young people have I run into? How many people just on planes, as I'm often on the plane this past week included, that they're starting from scratch, you almost get, they're just starting from scratch, you know, trying to figure out the world at 20 years of age because they've thrown out everything and let's just start from zero so I can build something my own. Beautiful, beautiful in the sense of it really accents your freedom. Terribly scary because the world has a lot you got to figure out and you only got a short life to figure it out. How much it helps us to believe and then come to know as we live it, right? Live it. So let's pray for that grace of faith and ask for, like Peter, before the challenge of what God proposes to us in the scriptures and in the church, that we can approach it with faith and trust and assimilate it through that. Let's pray for all of those challenging areas of our life where our faith is tested, which is natural and normal and good even. That's where growth happens, that we can face those challenges with generosity of spirit. And let's pray for also all of those sincere people seeking the truth, that God would continue to guide them and lead them to understand the truth. Amen.